A few years ago on a Friday night, I was at a friend's house in Ellijay, enjoying a girls' weekend with her and another of our mutual friends. My friend's husband was out of town. The house where my friend and her husband live is about a quarter of a mile off the road. It's surrounded by hardwood tree-filled Corps of Engineers land on three sides of the property. The back of the property backs up to Carter's Lake, and it's accessed by a gravel driveway. And in the winter, when the trees are bare, you can almost see the neighbor's house up on the hill to the right. And my friend's house is certainly accessible, but there's definitely a feeling of remoteness when you're there. That evening, we were in the living room when we heard a noise. My brain interpreted it as one of their three cats jumping down from somewhere they probably weren't supposed to be. But my friend Lynn said, "I think there's someone at the door." And just as Sam, their largest cat, came into my peripheral vision to confirm what I thought was the sound of a cat jumping down, we heard this coming from the door on the side porch. So with, I guess you'd say, false bravado, the three of us go to the back door. And I don't know why, but I was the one who tried to say in a rather commanding voice, "Who's there?" No answer. So at that point, the three of us rather nervously looked at each other. And Lynn's, "If someone tries to break into the house," action plan went into place. And I'll spare you the details of all that occurred that night. The incident ended with two officers from the sheriff's department coming to the house, but it was a while before they arrived. As I said, this is a little off the beaten path, so to speak. And they checked around all around the outside of the house and didn't see anything. But they also paid a visit to a neighbor's house a little down the street. They had passed on their way in because they noticed that there was a party going on there. And we had told them that we had noticed several boys, we had no idea what age they were, walking back up the gravel driveway after really the second slamming on the door. To borrow a phrase from our scripture today, the three of us were shaken and alarmed. And an even better way to describe our emotions that night is commentator F.F. Bruce's translation of that phrase. Bruce contends that the New Revised Version translation is a little tepid. He believes that a better translation of the phrase is "not to be shaken out of your wits." Well, trust me, the three of us that night were shaken out of our wits. Well, what was going on in the Thessalonian church that those Christians there were shaken out of their wits? Paul wrote the second letter to the church in Thessalonica because they were concerned about the paralysia. If you want to impress a few friends, just use that word, the paralysia, which is actually just the second coming of Christ. And they actually called it the day of the Lord. And initially, many of the early Christians expected Jesus to return in their lifetime. And in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian community, he had stressed that the nearness of the day of the Lord, he stressed that because he wanted to keep their hope alive, particularly because of the hardships that they were enduring during that time. But as time passed from Christ's resurrection and his ascension into heaven, and the day of the Lord didn't happen, or they didn't know if it did, some of those Thessalonian Christians became concerned that maybe they had missed the boat, so to speak. So now in this second letter, Paul reverses his focus, and he reminds them that though the day of the Lord will occur, most assuredly, it hasn't occurred yet. And they're okay. They are okay. I suspect that you good people of Pleasant Hill Presbyterian may have some concerns as you live through this season of transition in your church, in this church. And I certainly don't think that you're shaken out of your wits as my two friends and I were that Friday evening, or as the Thessalonian Christians were. But I do think you have some concerns. As you well know, this church is in what is called the interim time. It's a time of transition. And some of you have never experienced such a time in your church life. That could either be due to the fact that maybe this is the only church of which you've ever been a part, or you came to this church from another Christian church tradition that didn't search for a pastor the way Presbyterians do. For example, if your church, previous church tradition was Methodist, you're accustomed to the pastor saying goodbye one Sunday and the new pastor saying hello the next Sunday. Well, it's been 2 years this month since your founding pastor and pastor of over 30 years, Dave Fry, retired. And then you hired an interim pastor, Joel Alvis. And Joel was here with you for a year before he was called to be an executive presbyter in a neighboring presbytery. And at that point, you hoped that within the next 6 months after Joel's departure, that the PNC would find that person who would be your next pastor. And so you asked Jody to act as head of staff and moderator of your session for that time. But then it seemed that things didn't quite go the way that maybe some folks expected. So here we are today, and I am here as your bridge interim pastor. And your PNC continues to search for that person that God desires to be your next installed pastor. And Jody has served wonderfully as your acting head of staff and moderator of session over these past 6 months. There have been other changes in these last 2 years, changes which some of you may not have liked or may not have been easy for you. And then when you add that 2 weeks from this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and then the Sunday after Thanksgiving is the first Sunday of Advent, and then Christmas is only 26 days after Thanksgiving, I certainly don't think you're scared out of your wits, but when you add all of this stuff together, your expectations and the things that are ahead, you may feel a little angst, a little trepidation. Well, I've only been here for 10 days, but I do have some observations that I would like to share with you. You have an excellent and dedicated staff who care deeply about this church and who care deeply about each one of you. And each of them, just like you, has been affected by this time of transition. And if nothing else has affected them, they are now dealing with their third head of staff in just 2 years. Friends, that's a lot of adjustment. So if you have not thanked them lately, I hope that you will take this time, particularly as we are going into the season of Thanksgiving, you know, take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for hanging in there with us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for showing us God's love and grace and mercy. When I was preparing for the interview with the Bridge Interim Pastor Nominating Committee, I looked at your website and I looked at your church's statistics on our denominational website. And I was impressed at your level of commitment to mission, to going beyond these walls and to the community and beyond, to be an encouragement and a support. To be an encouragement and support for those people for whom life has been difficult, financially or otherwise. And as proof of that, of course, we just celebrated this morning the return of the Blue Ridge Mission trip. On Friday, a member dropped off supplies for your Laundry Love Ministry and your Thanksgiving Sandwich Ministry. And those are just two of the examples of this church's commitment to those who may have are experiencing life in ways that none of us may never have. And this church is also in an enviable position from that of many other churches. You have no debt. Because of your capital campaign, you have been able to pay off your debt. And that really is a huge thanks be to God, because as is the case with many churches these days, over these past years, your income has also decreased. So can you imagine how difficult it would be for this congregation right now if during a time of decreasing income, you still had this debt hanging over you? But that's not the case. That's something to celebrate. And yes, you have seen attendance at worship decrease over the years. And I know that it's no sense of comfort at all to, just as giving has gone down in most churches, that attendance has gone down also. You know, I mean, you don't, it's not that you don't care about the other churches, but that's not your church. This is your church, and this is the church that you're concerned about. And you look to the side of you, or you look in front of you, or you look behind you, and the people who used to be there, or the people who were there, are not there anymore. And that's disturbing. Well, I think that perhaps there's something that you could do about that. Think about a person that used to be near you in worship, but they're not here now, and you may not know why. Perhaps you could just pick up the phone, give them a call. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just say, "Hi, I've missed seeing you at Pleasant Hill. Hope everything's well. Anything we can do to help you?" And if phone calls are a little outside your comfort zone, write them a note. Same thing. But they will know. They will know, even if they do not return to this part of the body of Christ called Pleasant Hill Presbyterian, they will still know that the people here care about them. And even if we just see him on Christmas and Easter. But you know, something kind of miraculous could happen if you make that call or write that note. Maybe we will see them besides Christmas and Easter. This past Monday, I also met with the pastor nominating committee. And folks, they are a good group of people. It didn't take me long to be being in their presence to know that these are people who have taken seriously God's call on their life to search for your new pastor, and your call also to search for your new pastor. They have been at work since February of 2018, and even more, believe it or not, even more than you do, they want to get that work accomplished. And yes, they have experienced frustrations and challenges, but they are still faithfully meeting every Monday night, doing the work that they have been called to do. And they've been accompanied and encouraged in this journey by folks from the Presbytery of Greater Atlanta. And I trust that they have been lifted by you in your prayers. And it's hard to be patient. Hard for them and hard for you. But as one who has worked with pastor search committees before, and as an interim pastor, I know that you want the pastor nominating committee to take the time it needs to find that pastor God wants for this congregation. And your prayers and your patience will help that to happen. So due to all of these items that I've just mentioned, these observations, and many more things that I know I will come to observe and learn during my time here with you, I know that there is no reason for this church to be scared out of its wits, or really anything even close to it. In the second portion of today's scripture from 2 Thessalonians, Paul gives thanks for the brothers and sisters in the church there. Paul reminds them that they have been chosen by God, and Paul instructs them to stand fast and hold firm. Today, I thank God for Pleasant Hill Presbyterian Church, and for each of you, and for all those who are not here today. I thank God who has chosen you, and God who has washed you in the waters of baptism. And I thank God as you do stand firm and hold fast during this season of transition in the life of this congregation. So may God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Comforter, who loves you and through grace has given you eternal comfort and good hope, continue to comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good word and work that you do. And may all God's people say, Amen.